Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second, I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I've got something you might like.
Well, we'll see about that.
Do you have a favorite ref?
No, absolutely not.
Do you have a least favorite ref? I do.
There's a new guy that isn't a hockey that's all jacked up that I feel like is really always just like, you know, first down. When he does, it's like just like he's just really ripped. Like you can, even if you didn't have high def, you'd see veins bulging out of his forearms. I mean, he's just like that guy.
That's either Land Clark or Alan Eck, I think.
I think Land Clark is who I want there. Because I also, I don't remember names of guys that well, but if the guy I'm describing and like Tirico says, here's Land Clark with the call, whatever.
Land, I'd be Land like, Clark.
Look at this Land Clark. You're already in trouble with me with land. I mean, just get out of here. And now you're all jacked up. I don't know. Yeah, that guy.
I'd rather have a doughy ref. I've said it many times. I prefer a doughy ref.
It's more relatable.
Land Clark, who is a chief building official, by the way, in real life, is the alternate referee for Bills Jaguars. He'll be there if the actual referee is unfit to perform his duties.
If something happens to the game-appointed ref.
The actual ref for this game happens to be someone who has officiated 3 Bills wildcard games in the last 5 years. And he's getting a 4th.
All right.
2020 versus the Colts. 2021 versus the Patriots. 2022 versus the Dolphins. All wins. Total number of penalties called against the Bills in those 3 games.
Total in the 3 games. 18.
7.
7.
Accepted penalties.
That's a very low number.
Brad Allen. All right. You picture Brad Allen, normal looking guy, not going to win any bodybuilding contests. I trust him. I like him. He's not, I wouldn't say he's my number one, but I've got no issue. Hockey League would be my least favorite.
I can't see Brad Allen because when you said Brad Allen, my brain went to Doug Allen, and now all I can see is Doug Allen.
Oh, wow.
The former Anthem
of all Allens?
So, yeah, right? I know, but.
Okay. Brad Allen just, you know, looks like he could be your next door neighbor. Yeah. Could be your mailman.
Yeah. Man, good.
3-7
penalties.
Wild card Bills games in a row. It's interesting that he got 3 in a row, by the way. Because, you know.
Yep.
Maybe they would want to mix that up, but they didn't. And he called an accepted total of 7 penalties against the Bills in those 3 games. More.
Is Jacksonville Radio talking about that?
They only have, I mean, they're running out of time if they're not.
Somebody in Jacksonville pointing out that the official, his crew is only, although it's not his crew entirely, it's different. They're all star crews, right?
In fact, I can speak to this.
Okay.
According to sharpfootballanalysis.com, 3 officials from Brad Allen's regular season crew will join him.
Okay.
And then 1 official from 3 other crews have been promoted, I think it would be, to this crew for Sunday's game. More.
There's more?
Allen officiated contests averaged the fewest penalties per game in the league this year.
I think I like this.
Yeah, you should like this.
I think I like this.
The Bills.
Because I don't feel like the Bills. I think the Bills are more likely to be tugging and grabbing at Jacksonville receivers than they are me. And I don't know, pass rush wise, it might be a push.
The Bills' defense is top five this year in defensive holding penalties,
mm-hmm.
as is Jacksonville's.
Okay. That sounds like a push.
The Bills co-ranked, as it says here on Warren's website, sharpfootballanalysis.com, the Bills co-ranked number one this season in offensive holding penalties. Tied for the most. Remember Mike Vrabel's comment. How come they didn't get more holding penalties? They get a lot of them usually, but not against us. He said something to that effect after the Bills win in Foxborough. They ranked tied for first this year in offensive holding penalties. Guess what? Guess whose crew ranked last this year in calling offensive holding penalties? Brad Allen.
Let me think.
We've really hit the jackpot here.
Yeah, this sounds like a win.
Allen's crew also awarded the fewest automatic first downs via penalty in the 2025 regular season.
Well, you know, he likes to let the players decide.
He is going to let the players play.
He doesn't want to be the game. He doesn't want to be the show.
That's what everybody wants.
Doesn't want to get in the way. Yeah.
Don't call the obvious things we're all seeing.
This sounds great to me.
Make sure to ignore the constant barrage of penalties we can all see right there on our screens. Just don't even worry about it. Home teams are 61% in his games over the last 10 years, 2016, so 10 seasons, home teams win 61% of the time. I'm not sure how high that is. I mean, don't home teams probably usually win about that often?
Probably.
Maybe more?
Probably, yeah.
So he might be right. I don't know the number. He might be right near the middle on that average. Home teams on the money line in his games as a ref, there are six, are 5-1. So he has skewed a little bit. I'm not sure that's the fair way to put it. But right. Home teams have won five of six games, and that's three Bills games, as I just ran down, that he's officiated as a head referee in the playoffs. The Bills have a very good record with Allen, three playoff wins in the wild card round, as I mentioned, and all of these were at home. Mention that too.
Okay.
Excited?
I already was. But yeah.
You already were for this game.
This didn't take anything away. If it did anything, it added.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that it, but you know, it's good.
It might not have had any impact on
it. It's a positive. No, it did.
A slight bump.
I'm just being jerky.
A
slight bump. Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah.
Listen, I mean, whatever. But if I had come at you with all the opposite information here, we would have been freaking out a little bit. Like, that would have been the most holding. If it's Hockey Lee and all his, you know, showmanship, all the holding penalties, holding offense. I'm just, you know, I'm not here to see you. I'm not here to watch you.
Nobody is.
I'm here to watch Brad Allen.
Maybe your dad is. I don't know.
I'm here to watch Brad Allen. I think we drew a good card here.
I like it.
Any questions about the other assignments this weekend? I'm happy to take them off the air. I've got the whole list.
Okay.
The umpire for this game is a dentist.
We're not going to do this for the other five games.
You want to? It's fun. No. The umpire for this game is a dentist who played in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Mike Morton. Brad Allen is a nonprofit CEO.
That's a nice gig.
Oh, I bet it is. Nonprofit CEO.
Yeah,
that's probably the best.
It sounds really good.
It sounds really
good. You're probably doing what appears to be good work, right? Well, your name is on good work. It's charitable, nonprofit, like that. That feels good, and the pay's probably all right.
You go to a meeting once a month.
Yeah. A lot of Zoom.
You're usually on Zoom.
A lot of Zoom, probably, in that world, I would guess.
Watch out. The umpire, that can be holding calls. That's from a different crew. The dentist guy here is from a different crew.
Yeah.
Don't take this to the bank.
Do you happen to know, is former Bills safety Steve Freeman still out there?
I don't know.
Officiating? I mean, it's been a long time. mean,
he
might have aged out
past his prime.
He might have
as a ref,
but he was an official. I think he was an umpire for a long time, or back judge. Or
I don't see his name this week.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. No, it's a good. It's a fair question. It's the right question. Is Steve Freeman still working? Here's Kyler with us. Hello.
Hello. So, obviously, we know after this year, we're going to lose Dawson Knox unless we re-sign him. And we have...
I'm going to call a timeout. He's under contract. I mean, they might want to adjust it or divest themselves of him, but I don't think we know anything. His contract's not up. Knox? Huh?
In 2026, I believe.
I'm not sure, but okay. So let's say he's gone. That's what you want to work with?
I am sure he is.
Not to say he's gone, but really with Kincaid, we know he's got a lot of health problems. Is it worth it to keep Knox for $15 million, $12 million a year when you know you have Jackson Hawes here as a blocking guy?
I mean, he's never been worth it, I think, but...
There's always going to be a question. If you're tight on the cap and he's making that kind of dough, he's not a free agent until 2027. So, and I was sure, and I just checked, just to make double sure. So they may have to make a decision on that. I think Kincaid's health probably plays a bigger part in that than Jackson Hawes plays in it, because their number one receiving tight end is Kincaid, and we're like just limping into every game here, hoping he can get through it and really managing his rep. So I don't know. I think it might be more likely with as much as they've used him in their passing game in the last few weeks that they restructure him.
I shouldn't have said Knox has never been worth it. That sounds really harsh. You know, he's okay, but the contract was egregious, and it's still there. And, you know, now you can wonder, and the caller, I think, had it wrong, but you can wonder whether they should have him back.
Sure.
It's $21 million dead cap. Like, they just paid what? I mean, they paid him a huge contract when they did it, like 3 years ago. So they're still working under that. And I don't think it's great. But Knox has been useful at times. I'm not like a hater or anything. Just never wanted that deal and have never thought it was good for the Bills.
I think it's fair to say that I would say this. If he's here, his cap number is projected, according to SpotTrack, to be $17 million next year. If he is here, and
my dead cap number was for this year, sorry.
That's pretty typical with the last year of a contract like that, which is what this is. And I think they've even reworked him at some point. Anyway, I think that's what they'll do again. If he's here, they will rework that. I don't think they will plow into the final year of his deal at $17 billion. That just seems to me like that would be nuts.
Yeah, the dead cap number next year is 7.4. That's a different deal altogether than 21, which is what it was this year.
Right.
So maybe he does end up leaving. It's not impossible.
Right.
All right. Kincaid, so limited again. How important is he?
I think he's vital. I really think he's vital. I don't want to go so far as to say they can't win a game without him catching six balls for 75 yards and a score or something. But the splits with and without him in games and even on the field are... It's so one-sided that he really is the engine of their passing game. When he's there, I don't want to stop short of saying flourish, but they're good. They don't really have the problems that they seem to have when he's not. And again, this is within games themselves. When he's dressed and not on the field, they run into trouble. So I think he really matters a lot, and it's so precarious. Every week, it's just... Can I get there with this guy? Is how I feel anyway. The game's going to start, and anytime I see him, I'm watching to see if he's getting up slow.
Really?
Yeah. Every time. That's where I'm at with him at this point. And I don't feel like, I don't know, maybe that sounds harsh. I don't think that's unwarranted.
No, it's just, it really is in your head.
Yeah.
Is all. I don't think it's unwarranted either, but it's really in your head that, you know, he might not get up from any given play. Well, I've been a little resistant on his skeleton key type status here for their offense because while there have been good games, there have been games where he mattered a lot. It's not like it's all the time. He was not somebody, when I think about a tight end that might serve this purpose, he wouldn't be on a list of guys for me like this. But I'm sure they want him. And I think what else about Kincaid is, as we perhaps brace ourselves for an aftermath next week, like what, they lost to Jacksonville. Now what? What has to change? I mean, you will not be able to get through next week unless you call now. You better call now to talk about this next week.
Reserve your spot.
Yeah, we'll just sort of wait for whatever is going to happen. But Bean could use Kincaid, you know? Like, this whole stuff about receivers, he's adjacent. I mean, he's a first-round pick. He's the only one that isn't, you know, defense, right? He's somebody, he stands out. And Coleman is almost the same. But Coleman might not even play in this game. They might be done with him. They're not done with Kincaid. And then eventually we'll get into a conversation about a fifth-year option for him and, like, what kind of future do they see in Kincaid? Like, what's it worth to them? Bean could use, if not also Allen, Bean could use Kincaid to pop because this is one where he could sort of push back against, not literally because we're not he's not on hold himself, but he has been.
No, and but it would be good for his
be
brand.
Good for him.
Yes.
To get Kincaid on the field and making a difference, a real difference.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
They didn't draft him to block with two other tight ends on the field.
No.
I mean, the point of Kincaid is seam stretcher. And that's not really, when he's not there, there is not this player on the Bills.
No.
So maybe he is huge to their chances.
I think he is, and I think the number on a fifth-year option is pretty moderate. I think I saw $8 million somewhere in that range, and I would bet almost regardless of how this ends this year that they pick that up and just try, because he is a first-round pick, and they do not have a bunch of pass catchers. Like, they don't need to create another need at that position. We're already talking about Knox. Right, they're going to probably have to redo that if he's even here. Maybe they would feel like, you know, if Kincaid really smashed in the playoffs, then they want to trust his health. It's just always going to be risky. I mean, he went through a whole offseason, and then camp started, and it's like, oh,
knee
is sore. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, other than just be leery of it, which is why it's in my head. But the fifth-year option to me is not such a big nut that they would stumble over it. I would almost guarantee they pick it up.
Sounds right. You could even eventually get to a franchise tag with tight ends that doesn't kill you. Maybe that's not what's next, but...
Right, but you might want to go year to year with him.
Yes. Dane is next. Hello, Dane.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
There's been a lot of talk this week on this show and others about how important it is for the Bills to establish some sort of consistent run game in this game to really get their offense going. I think that's completely true. It's been the case all year. That being said, I'm wondering and also hoping that Joe Brady will call some designed Allen runs this week. I think that's something we really have not seen a lot of this year outside of the tush push, and that's obviously dependent, you know, maybe on the state of Allen's foot. But I was just wondering, what your guys' thoughts on that is going forward for this game and, you know, how that will impact the game.
I would be surprised if it's not full speed ahead on everything with him, including running. Like, I really think we're there. He's practicing fully. I would expect them to do, you know, everything they feel like they need to do, and that should include Allen running. So I don't think there'll be any handcuffs on that myself.
I don't disagree overall, but it's not that many plays. It's only like a less than five, I think, probably. What is it going to be? A draw, a sweep, you know, maybe inside the red zone, a couple of plays like that. But I doubt they're thinking that this is what they have to win is for Allen just to sort of take the snap and go. Because they have Cook for that. And Allen has taken a pounding this year. I don't expect them to, you know, take the field at 1 o'clock on Sunday and just sort of like rev him up in this way. Sure, you don't want to hold back. That's right. But, I mean, just a couple of plays. Maybe five?
That's all it really ever is.
That's right.
Right? So that's why I say whatever it normally is, I think you can expect that. And you know, there should be no restrictions on him running, you know, creating outside of structure and all that. Because, again, I feel like I'm going to trust that he's as fully healthy as he's been in a few weeks. Had the extra time off, you know, didn't have to really do much last week at all. I assume in practice, you know, just I'm not playing the game. So, I think the playbook's wide open.
Maybe he should have limped off the field after that one play against the Jets just to have us all guessing.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, not even use his one foot. Just jog off the field with a grimace on one leg.
He shows up at a news conference this week on a scooter.
Get the scooter going, yes. Milk it. And then, oh, he's fine? Great.
I think
what a relief.
I think you get in trouble for doing that.
Well, you know, you have to be a little bit subtle. The scooter might be the difference. The scooter could get you in trouble. Crutches.
Was it last year or was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago. Everyone was analyzing Mahomes walking to and from the podium for post-game for postseason, like midweek news conferences. There was, I mean, I remember seeing footage of his feet.
Feet footage. The Bills have all those walking boots. We know they should just use.
Right. They got a whole room.
Why
full
waste
of them?
It? They've right. got they've got dozens of walking boots.
Just as a precaution.
Right.
Put them in a walking boot.
Why shouldn't they all be in walking boots?
I don't need you stubbing your toe. Door frame.
I tweaked my ankle coming in here today.
It's not hard.
And I wasn't even running away from anybody, right, as far as you know. I was just walking in, and a little bit of a step.
Yep. You got to watch yourself.
Use the walking boots.
Yep.
I doubt that that's, like, illegal. Why not be safe out there, Bills? The update, and we'll talk some more following, 803-0550. The line is coming up in 20 minutes. Also, Sal Capaccio, and then the Sabres tonight at the Rangers, pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Bills have two significant concerns. Number one, they struggle to stop the run. The Jags can run the football, and they run it well. And the Bills have struggled in that area for a good part of the season. And number two, the reality is the Bills do not have any way to win one-on-one matchups in their pass game. So everything must be highly schemed, or else it's, oh, let's hope Josh makes plays.
Sounds right. Greg Cosell on with Ross Tucker recently. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal at 5, 803-0550. The line coming up. Don't want to miss that. The game coming up on Sunday. Definitely do not want to miss
that. I'm not going to miss. 1 o'clock, right?
1 o'clock Eastern. You're on post game with me. You want to be available for that.
I will be. I'll be on time.
You'll be home, I think.
Right, but I'll be on time.
Okay, good. Bob is with us. Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys. Isn't this the same Bills team that beat Jacksonville 47-10 last year?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, similar enough. I mean, there's a couple of different pieces, but yeah.
I mean, maybe they added Jacoby Myers at the trade deadline, and McDermott certainly did a lot to talk him up this week, but their first-round pick, Hunter's been out for quite some time, but it seems like a lot of the improvement that we're seeing out of Jacksonville was coming from coaching, and specifically offensive coaching. So to me, win or loss this weekend, if McDermott doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, it seems to me that if you look across the league, and it's been this way for the last 2 or 3 years, that the ceiling of a team rises when the offense is better coached. Like, we need to go get an offensive coach. And what it's really boiling down to me is there's only a certain number of these great offensive coaches that are out there. Like, if Green Bay moves on from LaFleur, that seems to be something that almost seems like a no-brainer coming out of the McVay tree. But it makes me wonder whether these coaches are possibly worth picks, and quite a few of those picks. Because if your ceiling can rise like Chicago did this year, or Jacksonville can rise this year, or even what Sean Payton's done in Denver, having an offensive play-calling coach matters. And I have to say, he is the only thing that scares me about this weekend going into Jacksonville. Not McDermott, it's Liam Cohen. And I just wish I could say the same thing about the Bills. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
I think we've all, almost all, I shouldn't say it that way. I too would prefer to have an offensive head coach. You know, that way you're not cycling through guys and, you know, the hot candidate on a good team leaves and you got to replace him and you're scrambling. You know, that's the life you lead when you choose to have a defensive head coach. So, yeah, I mean, I think Cohen has made a huge difference for Jacksonville. I don't know how much their personnel changed over, but he would have been at the helm for the changes, too. So, you know, with a general manager, of course, I think he deserves a lot. He's done a great job. That was a 4-win team that got stomped by the Bills here last year. And I think he's freed up that quarterback. And yeah, I mean, you know, being scared, you're intimidated by the team's offense because of the coach. I mean, I guess by virtue of that, you're scared, the caller's word, of the coach. I mean, he's not going to be on the field, but he's had a great first season there.
It's part of it. Last year's Jaguars had 9 takeaways. This year, 31. We had this with the Bills last year, where they ran both sides of the ball super hot when it came to turnovers. We expected that to regress. It did. They still won 12 games. And the hardest part about all of this is always the single game sample, or the single play sample, even, when it comes to these big decisions. Like, did the Jaguars have a better season than the Bills? Is it pretty much equal? Like, they won one more game than the Bills, so they had a better record by one game. But 12-5 is damn good. And what works against McDermott is we're all getting bored and frustrated with playoff losses, and people are seemingly ready to talk about another one having happened already before it has, is just like, that works against him. It works for him in a certain way, because the consistency really is amazing. I mean, the Bills have been the best team in the NFL in the regular season, at least. I know that's the point, right? But for 5 years running. Then you get to one game and, oh, how come we didn't read this blitz, or how come we didn't do this? And that, then you, down you go. And then it's, well, you know, we must need somebody else. There does come a time when that happens. And the question is simply whether this will be it, just like it has been after every one of these losses. And for me, it hasn't been time yet, and I don't know that I'll want it to happen next week if they were to lose this game. But to have the season end in a first-round loss to Jacksonville, if that's what happens, is not progress.
We know that much. There's no question about that. All that said, it would still stun me, and that might not even be strong enough, if they made a move on him. The Bills, like, for all the chatter that's out there this week, you know, it just sort of flows with the whole vibe, you know, it now or never for Allen. I mean, McDermott is, maybe McDermott even belongs in the driver's seat of that, but a lot of it's about the quarterback, because the conversation around the league is always about the quarterbacks. That's just the nature of the beast. But I feel like we talked about this with Joe an hour ago, Joe Ostrowski from Chicken Dinner, that I think circumstantially there's speculation about McDermott. He's been here a long time, and there have been playoff failures, and you've got the MVP from last year as your quarterback, and you haven't gotten there yet. And I think you just sort of add all that up, and just maybe now will be the time. I just don't hear or get any sense at all around here that is real. But that doesn't mean it couldn't happen. I mean, there's probably a scenario out there where it could. I don't expect it. And I think mostly any speculation about him is largely just the circumstances that I've already presented.
Sean is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Just want to get your thoughts on Brady's job security for next season, especially if the offense struggles in the postseason. The reason why I ask is with McDaniels being fired today. I mean, Brady's made this offense look very difficult on Josh far too much. I mean, if I never saw a wide receiver screen again, I'd be okay with that. But any type of new wrinkle into this offense, now we don't have the skilled players that Miami did have or still has, but just curious on your thoughts if that would be a potential fit for the Bills offense next season if Brady was to be let go or go somewhere else.
Possible. I don't think you need to have a fit. You fit, you know, around your guy. I mean, that's but if the Bills are so bereft, like we all talk that they are in terms of receiving talent, then you start over with a coordinator and try to shape it from there. This is all we can talk about, I guess, is just what if they lose, right? Here we are again, fourth day in a row, which is what if they lose. It's not that it isn't interesting, but like the only thing we end up talking about is coaching changes anymore. That's just it. Everybody's so ready for them to lose, I guess. Favored on the road. The line that is coming up, that's
yes,
one that'll amplify the point.
It is. Yeah.
Just everybody's so ready for them to
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
So we can, you know, have the phones ring off the hook about 10 or 100 other coaching candidates.
Well, I don't know. There's not a lot of mystery to that. To me, right? I mean, if you have been clamoring, if you've been calling us, you know, once a year, twice a year, to make your case about McDermott being a problem for them, at some point you want to be right. So anytime, right? I mean, as much as you're a Bills fan, right, you want to be right. And so I'm planting my flag. I told you back after 13 seconds. Congratulations, you did. I'm sure you did. Thousands of you probably did. Hundreds. I don't know. It is. It's kind of weird. It does feel to me like there is some portion of the fan base that wants the validation of being correct about that, so they can dunk on me. And you, whoever, just, you know, I told you.
Everyone else.
Like, okay, you know, congrats. You nailed it. They weren't the one out of 32 teams to win the Super Bowl this year, and you got it. I don't know. I just keep saying what I say. I don't think it's in the wind at all here. I think the national stuff is just connecting dots, which, again, you can do, and you don't have to be. It doesn't have to be wrong. It could happen. I just don't. I don't expect it. Like, I do not think Terry Pegula is sitting there today thinking, "Man, if we don't win this game,
who knows?" Though,
but you never. Yeah, you're right. You never do really know.
I just want to see it and make a judgment off of it. If they do lose the game, like how? What is it this time? You know, and the fact that it's not Kansas City won't help if they lose. But it's still an if. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal at 5. This is WGR.